For members only, Golf Smarter number 312, published on December 20, 2011.
SmarterPodcasts.com, delivering sound advice.
When was the last time you heard "nice swing" with John Novosel?
This is Golf Smarter, sharing tips and insights from golfers and golf professionals to help lower your score. It's worked for your host, Fred Green.
Ooh, a little sneak there. Welcome back to the Golf Smarter podcast, this time for members only, John.
Okay, glad to be back.
Put that away.
I will.
What are you playing with? Did you bring enough for everybody?
Okay. Yes, I did.
We were getting into the conversation about getting into the 2-to-1, and I'm really intrigued by the fact that you found that for the short game that's a 2-to-1 ratio versus the 3-to-1 ratio, which club is it that we now need to go, all right, and it's hard enough changing your swing for every shot for the amateur golfer. At what club do you go, all right, from here I have to go from my 3-to-1 tempo to my 2-to-1 tempo?
Right. And let me go ahead and play those for you so you'll have an idea of what they sound like.
Thank you.
That's important.
Sure. Let's get started right there.
So what I'll do is I'll start with the long game. When, remember, we talked about Tiger Woods when he was 24-8
winning the Masters.
Winning 24-8 at Bethpage, winning the Open in 2002. Basically, we're going to I'll give you the 24-8, which was his long game tempo. Is that coming through okay?
Yeah, it sounds great. I'm dancing.
Okay. All right. Now I'm going to switch to a short game tempo. I'm going to go back to long game.
Give me with the you were doing with your son's voice on doing the words.
Uh huh.
Do you have that on the 2-to-1 as well?
I don't have that on the 2-to-1 yet. We're gonna have that, but not yet.
All right. Can you vocalize it? How that works?
Sure. Let's go back to short game.
I'm telling you, the bump, bump, bump. I'm now, when I stand at the tee box with my driver, people are like, "What are you doing?" And I'm tapping my driver. Dun, dun, dun.
That's it. You got it exactly.
Dun, dun. I'm tapping 2, 3, 4. And when I'm ready, I'm like, whack. I smack the driver down to the ground. I step up to the ball.
And go. Yeah. Exactly. Well, this is the same thing. It's swing, set, through. Swing, set, through. Swing, set, through. And that's the short game. That's when Tiger's putting his best. He's 16-8.
Oh.
And so basically that, and here again, what we talked
so it's
about
a
was
much
that it's
more
the,
even swing than with the driver, which has got a faster downswing. And this is a much more even tempo.
Yes, absolutely. Oh. It's much more even and much smoother. And I actually like to warm up on the range with the short game tempo, even with an iron.
Sure.
Just to get started, because I feel like I have more time on the backswing. I don't know if that's just me or what, but I think it's a good idea. Then once you get past what we call an L drill, you can go to the 3-to-1, and it'll feel much better. And then the interesting thing in our newest book, Tour Tempo to the Short Game and Beyond, is we have a thing called the force. And that was the question you had about, when I have these different tempos, how do I take it to the course? Mm-hmm. And this thing that we call the force is, I think, it's going to be really one of our best contributions to golf. It's the last chapter in the book, and I'll let everybody read it, and they can see what it's all about.
Not even a tease? I mean, that not just go read the book? Come on, well, man. This is the members-only group. This is a very unique audience, and I'll tell you something about the Golf Smarter for members-only audience. They'll go out and buy the book. So give me a tease. Come on.
Okay, I'll give you a tease. All right, well, what happened was Junior has presented Tour Tempo to the PGA of Sweden. They had him in for to go to Sweden to give a talk to the teachers there, the PGA teachers at their workshop. And then also he's presented just this year at the PGA of the Netherlands, Holland. Hmm. And so basically he wanted to freshen up his presentation. So he emailed Bob Grover, who is our Yale physicist that proved our theory. Mm-hmm. And he asked him, Bob also had another part of the paper about what happens physically on the golf swing. And he likens it to a spring that is twisted and then released. And basically it has a certain ratio, a force ratio. And so he and Junior corresponded some more back and forth on exactly what he meant by that. It's a little bit beyond me. But how we translate it is into a what we call the force drill. And this drill is absolutely just fantastic on, I think, on helping you be more consistent in the swing and helping you have an easy distinction between long game and short game swings. So that's kind of the stuff on the force. It's and if you look on Amazon with some of the reviews, the guys that have used it are pretty pleased with it.
I bet. Yeah. So I don't know if you answered my question about at what point do you say this is the club I need to go to a 2-1?
Oh, okay. Well, basically, I would say depending on how good the player is, they should. Just practice with a little bit. Practice with the tones at 2-1 from 100 yards in. And basically, most players, it would be probably about 50 or 60 yards in where they'd start on the 2-1.
Oh, okay. So it's close.
Anytime you're doing a full swing, that's going to be 3-1.
Ah, it's the full swing versus
knockdown, partial swings. It's kind of interesting on this force thing. I'll just give you the first. My co-author his whole family is big into golf. His brother, his name was Tom Garrett. He's one of the best players to ever come out of Kansas City. Was on the PGA Tour in the 50s and 60s. And basically, John's dad was a big golf player as far as. Enthusiastic about it. And I've known John for over 10 years now. And after we did this drill, we went out to my course and we played, and he hit some of the best shots, not only that I've ever seen him hit, that I've seen anybody at our course hit and any pros hit. They were just unbelievable. They were right on the flag. And every time you look at it, he was 10 feet away or 3 feet away or something like that. The wind didn't bother him. They were just quite incredible. And he's been playing the best golf of his life. I think it's this year is the first time he's got to be in his late 60s. And this is the first time he's ever been under par on a golf round. And he's been playing since he's, a teenager.
Well, if that's not a testimonial, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I can't get much better than that.
Yeah. Wow.
But to answer your question, it's anything that's – anytime you're getting close to into the green and you want accuracy over distance, then the 2-1 ratio is what you're looking for.
And as you were explaining it, I started thinking about various shots that I've taken, and I'll know that – greenside bunkers, caught up under trees and have to have a low shot, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, correct.
I think about it's like when I screw those up is when I'm rushing it, when my swing gets very fast and when I'm mm-hmm. trying to ease it back, but I didn't realize I needed to go to a 2-1 versus the, the 3-1.
Absolutely.
But getting it into a better rhythm, and it's so easy for your tendency to rush those kind of shots.
Yeah, those have a little pressure applied to you from the shot. And
also grip really hard, too.
Yeah, the harder you grip, the better it is. No, basically, that's exactly what you're saying is correct, is that the accuracy for shots. And, for example, one of the reviews on Amazon for the new book about the, bunker shots around a green. The guy had two bunker shots during the round after he worked with our stuff, and he hit them both within 6 feet of the pin, and they just, nice soft landing and everything. And he says his playing partners remarked on how pro-like the swing looked. and so that's the other thing that we found out for the long game, that amateurs don't swing tempo-wise as fast as the pros. And then on the short game, they swing too fast compared to the pros.
Yeah.
So it's pretty interesting on how that's all worked out.
And when you say as fast as the pros, now are you talking about the 27.9 or?
I'm talking about.
But they're not even at a 3-to-1 tempo.
Right, exactly. They're not as fast and their tempo's off. And we had one guy came in for a VIP school, which I should point out. We're going to have a couple of those this year. And, next year, I always think of it this year, but it's going to be, we're having one in Scottsdale in February. Then we'll probably have some
February 2012 is what we're talking
about. February 2012. Mm-hmm. And we're also going to have a couple of VIP schools, hopefully at the new Patriot course in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Dan Rooney is the guy that started the Folds of Honor, I believe it is. And that's where the, they contribute funds to our men in the uniform that have lost their lives and to their children to give them college educations. It's a really great cause. But they've got a brand new course down there. It's one of the top courses in the country already. And we're thinking we're going to probably put on some schools there. But one of the first guys that came into our school when we first wrote the book, his tempo, I believe, was 56.11. And so
are you talking about frames again?
Yeah,
56.11.
Yeah, so think about 56.
That's 5-to-1, right?
Yeah, yeah, right. And think about Tiger being 24 frames back. This guy's 56 frames back.
Take a nap.
Yeah, and you know what? His
while
fault
he's
is,
swinging.
You know, yeah, all he's heard is low and slow. Uh-huh. And so, you know, that's what everybody's heard. And so that's what they attempt to do. And then of course, there was always the confusion between what looked smooth and what was fast. And the thing we asked in the original book is, and we should ask now, is to you, who has the quicker tempo, Greg Norman or Ernie Els? And what would be your logical answer?
Norman.
Yeah, that's what everybody would say. But guess
what? Because Els is so smooth.
So smooth.
And never looks
like
he hits the ball hard. You're kidding.
They're both the same.
Now you're really kidding.
Maybe a frame quicker, you know, than Norman.
That's really interesting.
So you can't tell with your eyes what the tempo is. And so what everybody's attempted to do is to swing so slow that they look smooth. And, of course, that doesn't work. so you have to go to the tones, and we recommend refreshing yourself on those every once in a while also. But that's one of the things that we found is that what you see with your eyes is not always, you know, because nobody would believe that Ernie Els is the same speed as Greg Norman as far as tempo.
No, I'm fascinated.
Counterintuitive.
Yeah. So they're the same as tempo, but are they both like a 24.8 type of tempo? Or?
Yeah, 24.8. Actually, Greg is 25.8. And here's an interesting fact. When he blew the Masters, he had that 5 or 6 stroke lead and fouled 0-1. On the 16th hole, he was teeing off. He dumped it in the water. Okay, he was 32.8 on that swing. Okay, so what my whole theory on that deal is that he was trying to protect his lead and trying to swing slow on the backswing, maybe not on purpose, but maybe subconsciously. And so if his normal good swing's 25.8, and so he's added 7 frames, which is about almost 30% more time.
A third of a second, yeah.
Yeah, and so all of a sudden now he's pulling him in the water. You know, he's stuck at, you know, he's coming to 16th hole, and he sticks it right in the water on the left-hand side. So basically, that's what tempo can do to you.
So Norman's 25.8. What is Els?
Els is 24. He was 24.8. Now, an interesting thing on Ernie Els, he's not playing great lately, and the reason is his downswing is now about 10. And so basically, he's slowed his downswing for some reason. It's another thing that's happened to Vijay Singh. Why he's not playing well lately is that he used to be a nice 24.8, and now he's also a 24.10 now. And so these guys are too slow on. They're actually probably doing a little bit of casting or something at the top, and they're not swinging the club back down.
So everybody's got a theory why so-and-so is not winning on the tour. And of course, especially like Johnny Miller and the announcers, they all have a theory of what's working and what's not working. Has anybody approached you, or has anybody started talking about the tempo, the tour tempo rhythm?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, quite a bit. We do a thing on Sirius XM on Brian Katrick's show, and we generally will put the we'll let him know what the tempo numbers are on the winners of the previous week's PGA Tour event, and it's pretty interesting that when he starts talking about that, and basically we've also done Junior, my son John Junior, and John Garrity went down to the tournament in El Paso. San Antonio. That's Champions Tour. They were on the Champions Tour segment of the Learning Center. They had a nice little 5-minute segment, and they actually went up to one of the guys that was practicing for the Pro-Am and put him through the tones and improved his swing immediately. And we were on the Golf Channel. That was back in, I think it was probably October. But yeah, we have been getting some press on that.
Fabulous, fabulous. I'll tell you, when we did our Golf Smarter adventure to Prague back in 2009, Lou Nussbaum, one of the people who traveled with us came from Southern California. Mm-hmm. Lou had his iPhone. It was a new thing at the time. It was like, ooh, mm-hmm. iPhone. And he took video of me taking a swing and sent it to me. And it was just around the time that you and I spoke. So I had it up on my computer, and I did, you know, I put it up here in QuickTime. And with the arrows, the right and left arrows, I started counting. As soon as I started my backswing, click, two, three, and you can count. And everyone mm-hmm. should try this, right? Do it with
sure.
your iPhone,
yeah.
your iPad,
oh, absolutely.
Your pocket camera. They all do video now, so it's real simple to do. And if, in fact, you have a flip cam or a pocket cam or anything, that you can get a 60 frame per second, that's even better, because you can slow it down and really see what's mm-hmm. going on. But 30 frame per second is all you need, and you can click and count for yourself what you're doing. You don't need a coach for this, right?
No,
you
exactly.
can do this yourself.
You can do it yourself. Just put it on QuickTime and just advance the frames one at a time and count the ratio, and there you are.
Yeah, I was 27.9 when I did that. I was like,
nice.
Nice. Yeah. I was like, cool. Yeah. Okay. And it's definitely helped.
That's
definitely
awesome.
Something that every recreational, every amateur golfer should be conscious of.
Absolutely.
And those guys who are saying, I can't slow it down. I can't. It's like, dude, you can. If you want to, you're not
yeah.
going to get any better if you keep doing the same thing. Cut it out.
That's right. Exactly.
You've mentioned Junior a number of times, and I know mm-hmm. you have three sons. Is Junior the long drive champ?
Yeah, he's
so,
the oldest.
So, and, yeah, share this. This cracks me up. No, he's not a big guy.
No, he's a little guy.
So what? He's about 4'3"? No, he's not that
well, comparatively speaking, you know, most of the guys, when I first took my number three son back in 95 or 96 to St. Louis, he made the regionals in Remax Long Drive. And so Scott was a pretty athletic kid. He's about, you know, 5'11", 175. And he hit a 342 or something to make the finals. But that was for some reason, Junior got interested in it. And he's only about maybe 5'11", 6 foot, and 165.
Oh.
And he's hit it 402 in Remax.
And 402 yards before it hits yeah. the ground. In
right.
The air.
Well, total length. Yeah.
Okay.
Total length.
So with roll. Okay.
Yeah. With roll. And that's his best. You know, when he's doing well in Remax, he's averaging 375, 380. And basically, he's just the guys that we're competing against. Jerry Johnson, I forget. He used to be Mr. California. And we first saw him when I took Scott to St. Louis, and he's like 6'7", about 270. Hmm. You know, and he's out there hitting a 5-iron about 250. I'm going, uh-oh.
Wow.
You know? And all the rest of these guys, I went with Junior to St. Louis so when he qualified. And we're talking guys that are Padre pitchers, and the guy was built like a refrigerator without a head. And, I mean, you know, these are the biggest guys you've ever seen. and they're just, you know, they're huge. And so mostly what Junior does is it's club head speed and impact. And so this is an interesting thing you might as well share with your listeners.
Thank you.
Is we've been putting on these VIP schools since the year about 204 actually. And a revelation occurred this last one that we had. And this guy was a physician from Maryland that came into the school in Lawrence, Kansas. And Junior is a rep for FlightScope. And so basically we FlightScope everybody to start off and see where they're, you know, where they're hitting them and that kind of stuff. And so what we first did was we did that, and then we introduced them to the tones, and then we introduced them to our new Power Tools Club. And so basically this guy's name is Marty. He's a great guy. And we worked with him for about an hour, and we already had his FlightScope information. And his average was like about 98 miles an hour with the driver. Okay, the interesting part is that when we fix your impact as far as squareness and all the rest of things that need to happen, you don't have to really increase the club head speed a lot. This was a revelation to me because we always like to increase club head speed a lot. We increased his club head speed an average of 3 miles per hour to 101. But what happened is all of a sudden out of 7 shots, you know, that most of them, 6 of them were in the fairway, and they were 30 yards farther on the average carry than what they were before he started with the tones and the power tools. And so to me, that was, I'm going like, this doesn't compute, because you'll usually get 2.2 yards around carry off a driver as far as, you know, club head speed. And so we only got 3, but he increased his carry distance 30 yards. And of course, all these were down the middle. You know, his highest speed on one of his first swings when we first analyzed him, it was actually a duck hook, but it was like 104. But of course, it, you know, it was one of those ones like Tiger hit at 180 yards with a duck hook at one of those tournaments this year. And so basically, that to me was a revelation. So basically, when you get the tempo right and when you get the mechanics right with our Power Tools Club, a lot of things work out for you.
Unbelievable. Give us a little shot about the VIP schools and where we can find more information about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the VIP schools, we've been doing that, and they are truthfully VIP schools. We have a basic charge for them, and it's all inclusive. The thing that got me started on all this stuff is I went to a nationally famous golf school in Florida in 1988. Because I was either going to give up golf, quit it, or get better. I've been playing, you know,
I think we go through
years.
That every single round.
Yeah, everybody's been there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I'm going like, you know, I have a neighbor that we moved into our house we're living in now in 1977. And about 1988, she took up painting, and she had been doing it about 10 years. And she was doing stuff for, you know, Indiana University on their brochures, and might have been UCLA, you know, colleges and things like that. And she was to me, was pretty much almost world class painter. And it took her 10 or 11, 12 years to do it. And I've been playing golf for, you know, 30 years. And I'm not getting any better.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm going like, what's wrong with this picture? Why, you know, somebody else can do painting and they can be great in 10 years, and here I'm not doing so well at golf, and I'm putting all this time into it. And so that's kind of where it all started. I went down to this golf school, and I got worse when I got back. You know, it was probably one of the worst rounds I ever played in my life. And all they did was work, you know, beat balls for 3 hours every day in the morning. And then they'd comment on different things your swing's doing. And then when I went out and tried to play when I got back, it was horrible. So basically, what this school does is we pick you up at the airport with a limo, and we all stay together. In Lawrence, we stay at my son's bed and breakfast, the Halcyon House. In Scottsdale, we're going to have that one on February the 17th, 2012. And we'll be staying 2 minutes from Troon North Clubhouse in one of the private residences there.
February 17th, how many days?
It'll be 17th, 18th, and 19th.
Uh-huh.
So it'll be 3 days. And so basically, we found out that when you're living together, or eating your meals together, and all that kind of stuff, that's why we call it VIP. Because from the time you get into the airport, we're going to limo you out to the house. We take care of all your green fees, all the the range fees, the transportation, the meals, the lodging, everything.
It's
all inclusive. And so that's what I like. You know, right away, you're not going to get charged for anything once you get to the airport, you're taken care of. And so we've got tremendous results with those schools, and we all have a great time. It's almost an instant bond with the guys that we have come in, because they're all interested in improving their game and interested in the game of golf. And we usually just invariably have a great time at those. But here again, we started those just from the fact that it gave me a great opportunity to work with different golfers and see what worked for them, and of all the tools that we use. And so basically what they come away with is they come away with our speedball kit, which Tommy Watson's now using. And they also come with our power tools system. It's a new thing that we just come up with.
I'm going to ask you about that in a minute.
Okay, great.
Get away without that.
Okay, well, anyway, that's our VIP. It's right on the website. When you go to tourtempo.com, if you'll go down to our VIP school, and then they'll have some various pages on that. But it's basically what you learn is you're going to learn a bunch of drills at the school, and you'll have the implements and the tools to, you know, anytime your swing gets off, you'll be able to get it back on track just by using the drills and the tools that we give you. Okay. So that's a pretty neat little system to for the rest of your life.
Yeah. That's tourtempo.com.
Yes.
Okay, great. All right. So your power tools. Definitely want to get into that before we go, because I completely honest with you, you forwarded one to me so I can take a swing and a peek at it. And I don't get it.
Okay. Well, here again, it's probably one of those deals where my sons say this, so I don't know if I am or not, but I'm usually ahead of the curve.
Good for you.
You know, because the product that I initially developed was a speedball. That was back in 1990. And we ended up with six LPGA gals using it, and some guys on the PGA Tour. Mike Springer, you might remember him from, he's California, I think from Sacramento area. And basically, though, it was it's different. And what we found out is that it increased club head speed. And it increased squareness at impact. And that's what, here again, we were talking about earlier with the VIP school. Once you do that, you don't need to increase the club head speed a lot. You get all the advantage of a square hit. And I should mention that on that one that we'd flight scoped, on every shot that Marty took with his driver before, they were all over 10,000 RPM side spin. And on every shot that he took after the training with the power tools and the tour tempo, they were under 10,000 side spin. So that was the big difference in the distance. Is all of a sudden now this ball's going with top spin instead of side spin. But anyway, that's catching on pretty big time now. Al Vermeil, I don't know if his brother Dick was coach NFL, and Al is the only trainer that has basketball championship ring and an NFL ring.
Wow!
And he actually is a strong proponent of the speedball because of it fits right in. You can use it right in your workout place or at home, and you work on your golf swing. But it was at that 20 years ago, it was pretty far fetched and pretty ahead of its time. And so don't feel bad, because that's the way the power tools is now.
Okay, so now that I've got it in my hand and I'm sitting here taking swings with it.
Okay.
While we're talking, what am I looking for? What am I trying to do?
Okay. Well, here's what's confusing is if you think of all the different theories in golf. Mm-hmm. All right. I mean, they run the gamut: use the body, use the hands, use the legs, blah blah blah, and on and on. Okay. All you have to learn mechanically with the power tools is you have to learn to hinge it on the backswing, unhinge it on the downswing, rehinge it on the through swing. And that's so pretty
hinge
simple.
It, so when you say hinge it, it's at a 90-degree angle.
It's a 90-degree angle. When you swing it back, it's one of the drills in the DVD. You swing it back, you want it to unhinge. It's gonna unhinge. That means you're swinging back.
Mm-hmm.
If you just take it back, that hinge is going to stay at the 90-degree angle. So it's going to unhinge going back, and then when you get to the top of the backswing, which you only want to take about a three-quarter swing, it's going to be 90 degrees now, the hinge will be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now all you do is unhinge it at impact.
Okay.
And then you just rehinge it when you get through, probably halfway up on the through swing. And so it's simple. Hinge it, unhinge it, rehinge it. And so that's all you really ever have to do.
When I'm taking the backswing, okay, I'm starting at a 90 degree at the hinged, right? So
yes.
As I'm taking my backswing, should it not open up? Should it not?
No, I want you. Well, I actually want you to start out. Let's say that you. I'd actually like you to start out with the club about, let's say, 45 degrees left of where the ball would be. You know, where you're actually pointing. Both arms are pointing out about 45 degrees left of where you are at address.
Okay.
And then you're just going to swing it back from there.
Okay.
And
I see.
Happen,
you're saying the club should be in front of me.
Yeah, club should be in front of you. You're just going to use your body and your arms to pull that back to top of backswing.
Right.
Once you pull that back, you'll find that will unleash, and now the club will straighten out like a regular club.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you get to the top, it's going to rehinge.
Yep.
Okay, and that also helps you is it helps you to hinge your wrist. Because we want some hinge in your wrist so that you create that power angle between the shaft and your forearm.
And when it's hinged behind me, mm-hmm. Should the hinge be facing directly down the fairway or towards the ground or up in
the
sky?
If you're going to just, all we want you is like a 3/4 swing, three quarters back. So actually what will happen is it actually is a perfect illustration of where your club face is also.
Uh-huh.
So you can just imagine that's where, the short part is your club face. And so basically if you want to hinge it so that that's, square, and basically you want to close or you don't want to really open. And so you don't even have to think about that, though. All you got to think about is if you just do the drills, how this does is it programs the correct movement of the swing into your body like nothing else can when you do the drills.
Mm-hmm.
We were doing the video for this DVD at Alvamar, where we have our VIP schools, and basically is getting down to the end. It's getting a little bit dark, and so Junior, we wore him out going through the various takes. Yeah, and so he goes over and says, I need to hit a couple balls. This feels pretty good. And so he started to look like a tour pro. He looked so smooth and effortless, and the ball was just popping off the club face, and that's because he did all the drills. And once you go through all the drills in the DVD, you're going to learn about backswing, forward swing, speed the body should be, just everything you need to do, only there's no talking about it. You're learning it by feel.
Hmm.
And to me, that's the only way the golf swing can be learned is by feel, not by trying to memorize positions.
Right, or watching videos.
Right. Yeah, that does no good either.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
But there's a visual here involved that kind of emphasizes if you're in correct position, right?
Oh yeah,
with the power tools.
Yeah, and the DVDs have videos that show you exactly what positions all that should be in.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then I'm going to start bringing this out with me to the practice range and before a round, just to start getting that feel for it.
Now that
you've explained it to me.
Yes, and when you get really good at it, what I want you to do once you've got the feel of it is I want you to take the band off and I want you to actually hit balls with it.
Really?
Yes.
Wait, without the band?
Yes.
So what will happen, the hinge will stay locked in? Or?
Well, it'll hinge just like what we're talking about. When you take it back, it'll hinge. As soon as you feel it hinge, that's your cue to start back down to impact.
Oh.
And then once it gets to impact, I want you to use a mat. I've got a little 2-foot by 1-foot mat that I take with me, or else you can tee it up and give yourself a little leeway because it's going to be a little bit different to start. And so you just want to start with 3/4 swings again, and you just hinge it, unhinge it, and rehinge it.
Cool.
Yeah, and then you just take that feel to the ball with a regular club.
Right, and the power tools are available at your website as well.
Yeah, we're sold out of them right now.
But oh, congratulations!
Thanks. We will be have some more in.
And so now the book Tour Tempo and Tour Tempo 2. There was the Tour Tempo Micro Player to get the tones. So that Micro Player, is that still available or no?
It's still available. We're phasing that out.
And that, because it doesn't have the 2-to-1.
It's got the 2-to-1, but it doesn't have the voice tones what the apps has.
Right.
And
how much are the apps?
The apps, I think the total game is $24.95, and then we have another one with just the long game tones. It's $14.95.
Okay, great. And hopefully the sales are going well with that.
Yeah, going very good on that.
Well, congratulations. I'm really happy for you. I'm fascinated by this because it makes complete sense to me. And I not only employ it, I'm going to continue to develop it and incorporate it into my game.
Sounds great. Well, make sure and keep in touch and let us know how you do. And then if I get your way, we're definitely going to have to play some golf.
Aha! Now we're talking. I want you to watch me and go, ooh, Fred, no. Fred,
no, I think we'll be okay.
John, it was great to speak with you again. Thanks for agreeing to do the two-part episode. We really appreciate it. And for everybody to make sure they go out to tourtempo.com, get information about the VIP school, the power tools, the books, and the apps.
Great. That's fantastic. Appreciate all your hard work also.
All right, so look, I'm not going to lie that producing this podcast hasn't offered some pretty, pretty cool perks, which includes getting the opportunity to try out new clubs every so often. Like Tour Tempo, I really think that Score Golf has positioned themselves with not only a unique product, but a really sound idea on game improvement. Let's give you some perspective here. I play Mizuno irons. I hit my 9-iron about 125 yards. I hit my 6-iron about 155, maybe sometimes 160. But, you know, if I have that distance, I know what club I'm going to pull. So when I filled out my score fit survey that determined which lofts would suit my game, they fit me with 42, 46, 50, 54, and 58 degree wedges that replace my 9-iron, pitch, gap, sand, and lob wedges, which I carry all of them. Honestly, it's taken me about four rounds. I'm going to be completely honest about this. It's taken me about four rounds and a couple driving range sessions to get comfortable. And the last two rounds I played, oh, God, I was so frustrated with what was going on with my game. But but it usually takes me about 3 months to get used to new grips. So if that's any indication how long this has taken. But this past weekend, I started out 9 over par on the first 5 holes, which is a little frustrating. But then I went 6 over with 1 par 3 birdie over the next 13 holes. And the back 9 in this course is much, much harder. Now, were the custom fit score golf wedges the difference? I don't know. But if you're more interested in long drives than lower scores, then you don't need to pay attention to what I'm about to say. But if you are in need of some serious help with your short game, I advise you to take advantage of two awesome offers from Score Golf. 100% money back guarantee and 15% off your purchase because you're a Golf Smarter member. This is a limited time offer and time is running out. Use the checkout code GOLFSMARTER15 either online or on the phone. For everything you need to know, click on the Score Golf banner on the members-only homepage at golfsmarter.com.
Smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.